It's another episode of the Grim Cities. We're back in your ears. We're excited to be here. And Madeline, could you tell the listeners what's about to grace their ears? What do we do on the show?
But this is a podcast that is dedicated to talking about all things grim.
Absolutely.
Be it supernatural, be it true crime, located in the Twin Cities or beyond.
Exactly. And we start every episode talking about something horror related.
Mm-hmm.
And we call this segment Horror Headlines.
We sure do.
So I have a confession to make for the listeners.
Tell me.
I did not come prepared with one today, so I had to have Madeline help me out. Mm-hmm. So she gave me a page from our horror trivia calendar that we both have.
Yeah.
And this is actually a really good one.
Okay.
It's multiple choice. And we have both seen this movie, so we'll see if we can get this right.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm into this.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Poltergeist.
Oh.
Is an 80s classic horror gem written by Steven Spielberg that includes scares representing two of his biggest childhood fears. Clowns and a spooky tree outside his window.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of cool that he worked his real childhood fears into the movie. Such a great movie, too.
Mm-hmm. Very fun.
Which of these facts about the cast and crew are not true?
Oh, okay.
A. Heather O'Rourke got to keep Carol Ann's goldfish. B, Dominique Dunn was murdered by her ex-boyfriend at age 22. C, the skeletons in the pool were real human ones.
Okay.
Or D, actor Zelda Rubinstein, who played Tangina, was an actual medium.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, these are good. Okay, I'm hoping it's not A, personally, because the other ones are super intriguing, and I swear to God, if this is just about a goldfish that somebody got to take home from set, I'll be kind of upset.
No, it's which of these is not true.
Oh, so I hope that one is the answer.
I was gonna say, I hope it's A.
Yeah, because that's boring as shit.
Yeah, but it's also kind of super cute.
It is cute, but also meaningless.
Especially for this podcast.
Yeah, is that too harsh? Okay, I'm gonna go that A is not true just because I hope it's not. But the one that I'm really hoping is true is that the skeletons in the pool were real human remains.
Blah.
Just because, like,
that's gross.
Commitment to detail.
Committing to the bit. Yeah. Am I right?
Am I right?
Okay.
What is your answer?
I'm going to be contrary. So I'm going to guess C.
So you're going to say the skeletons in the pool were not.
Yeah, because that's gross. That sounds like a disease waiting to happen.
Yeah, it would also be hard to get the approval for that, I'm guessing. But, you know, they do a lot of stuff for movies, so you never know.
That is true.
Okay, are you ready for the answer?
Yeah.
Drumroll, please. Oh my God, we were both wrong.
What?
The one that's not true is D.
She's a medium?
Poltergeist Zelda's first major film role, and she was not a medium.
Oh.
I would have guessed that they would have got somebody who thought they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess not. So that means the skeletons in the
pool. Oh my God. I just realized like the implication of that one being the one that's
that
in
kind
factual.
Of makes me so happy that I was right.
How? I'm going to need one of our listeners to look into this and tell us how they got the rights for that.
Literally. Somebody with legal knowledge.
Yes.
We don't know what the fuck we're doing. That's so funny. I still think the goldfish is dumb.
That's so cute.
It is cute. So. That was my horror headline.
Nice. That was a good one. I loved it.
Thank you. I mean,
thank
you gave
you,
it to me.
So, you know what's kind of funny?
What?
The skeletons being real.
Yeah.
My horror headline also has to do with skeleton.
No way.
Yeah. Being used.
A single skeleton?
For art.
Oh. Human remains?
Yes.
As
and
art?
I saw this post on Instagram. It's called Ranker History, and I want you to just look at it.
Oh. Before I even read the caption, I'm going to describe this photo. It's a painting, like an oil painting maybe, mm-hmm. of these two women and a young boy sitting in what looks like just an old room. It could be a kitchen. It's got a window in the background. You can see a tree through the window. It's got vases on one side with flowers. And yeah, they're kind of just sitting there. I think both of the women are knitting or doing something with cloth.
Mm-hmm.
And the caption says, "Take a look at the painting above. There's something a little spooky about it, right? If it creeps you out, there's a good reason." Well, I mean, there is a child in it, and we all agree that children are the scariest in horror movies. So, wait, both of the women are looking directly at the painting. I don't like that. They're looking directly at us as if we're looking through the painting at them.
Right.
I don't like that. Oh, it gives us a hint. Look at the colors. Okay, so the whole thing is pretty much a washed out yellow, mm-hmm. to be honest.
Kind of like a sienna.
Yeah, like a sienna. Mm-hmm.
So what you're looking at is called Martin Droling's interior of a kitchen.
Ah, so I was right. It was a kitchen.
Yes. I know what a kitchen is. And the reason it might look a little creepy is because the color is a shade called mummy brown.
Oh.
And they used to crush up mummies.
No.
And mix it to get that color.
No.
So this painting, Martin Droling's Interior of a Kitchen, is believed to have been painted with mummy brown.
Madeline.
Yep.
What the fuck?
So when I read this, I thought I have to tell Dan because of your horror headline a few weeks ago, which was...
Oh, yes. The Anguished Man.
Exactly.
With the paint that was supposedly mixed with the painter's blood.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know why this is even more disturbing to me. Maybe it has to do with the fact that, at least with the blood, it was his own and mm-hmm. he like consented to it. But like, are these mummies just being used? And
that is not what I meant when I said that I would donate my organs.
Yeah, literally.
That is not why I put that on my license plate. Excuse me.
No, that is so creepy. Where do they get the bodies from? Do you know?
So they used to grind up ancient mummies.
No.
Yep. Okay. So this is arthistory.fsu.edu. That's the Department of Art History of the College of Fine Arts in Florida. And this article published August 16th, 2019 says, mummy brown was a pigment of paint that became popular in Europe during the 16th century. The rich brown color was made from grinding up Egyptian mummies, both human and feline, because they used to mummify cats as well, I think, in Egypt. It was prized for its transparency and was used to paint shadows, glazing, and flesh tones in both oil and watercolor works of art.
No, this is so tragic on so many levels because, A, like I said, that's probably not what they thought their afterlife was going to be.
It's so inappropriate.
But also just destroying history.
Exactly.
I bet archaeologists are pissed.
Oh my God, archaeologists and also cultures from around the world?
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't just go to a graveyard and do that here.
No.
Why is it different?
I mean, I would if it was your grave, but that's different.
Yeah, but you'd probably do something worse than grind it up for paint.
Oh God, I don't know why when you said I'd do something worse, it made me think of salt burn and
that's not what I meant. Sorry, that's not what I meant.
Yeah, I know, but that's just what it made me. I feel like
you'd just shit on it or something. Yeah.
That's so sad.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's super grim. It felt relevant.
No, don't apologize. I'm just more like, I can't believe they desecrated these ancient Egyptian remains. They could have been studied.
Or just left where they are, because that was the intention.
That is the intention, yes.
Like, respect a burial place, y'all.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So, I actually have another horror headline.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Dan.
What?
We got an email.
What?
From Uncle John.
Yes.
Yeah, our favorite Uncle John.
Yes.
I don't think I have another Uncle John, but it's still true.
Yeah. Also, he writes in all the time, and we very much appreciate him.
I know. And this is actually a month overdue, because this is actually from Friday, February 2nd.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he sent it at 2:02 p.m. Okay, can I read it?
Yeah.
Okay. Madeline and Dan, I just got caught up on the podcast. It was fantastic hearing your voices again. Exclamation point.
Oh.
Love it. I probably should have realized that you were back way earlier, but apparently I don't know how to get alerts from my podcast. It's hell getting old. Exclamation point, exclamation point.
Okay, that's hilarious. But also, Uncle John, in your defense, we did kind of fall off for a little bit there. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, absolutely.
You probably were like, are these people even making a podcast anymore? Who are they?
What
are their names? I don't even know.
We like to take the holidays off and spend it with our families.
We really do.
Like Uncle John.
And we deserve it.
Yeah, we do. He continues. I do have a few observations.
Okay.
Ready? Dan!
Oh, God. I knew this was coming.
Why yuck or something similar every time Indiana comes up? Our feelings are getting hurt. And he even put a sad face emoji.
You know what? I am sorry. And I do think I have apologized the last couple times I've said it. I feel like it's just old habits die hard sort of thing. But you know, I'm very excited to come visit you someday. Mm-hmm. So please don't take it personal. We still love you. And I am actually very excited to see Evansville for myself.
Yes. And for the listeners, just a reminder, if you haven't been following this ongoing banter, he's from Evansville. He says, I was very disappointed that we didn't get a visitor on Halloween last year. The offer still stands.
Amazing.
He says, free room and board and all the margaritas you can drink.
Yes. Things just got so crazy. They got away from both Madeline and myself. And we do still have every intention of coming to visit someday mm-hmm. together.
Yes.
We just got to figure out when. So.
And he adds that it doesn't have to be around Halloween.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Next, I've enjoyed the recent true crime episodes.
Yes. What?
Along those lines, you may want to think about revisiting our area. Apparently, in the 6 months from last May to October, we had 5 out-of-state fugitives caught in our area, including
what?
2 murderers and the KC Anthony case that got so much national attention. Oh my God. There is something
that.
Going on here.
Yeah, there is something going on there.
He is
what the
not
heck?
Wrong. Maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should actually avoid.
Yeah, no kidding. Wait, 5 separate cases, he said?
That's wild.
That's insane. What is going on?
Oh my God.
Are they all in specifically Evansville, or did they happen like in nearby areas? Or
it just... says in their area.
Oh my God.
You could probably think like the surrounding.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But it leads to another positive. I was thrilled to hear that you have merch. I've yes. already made my first purchase.
Oh, thank you,
yes.
Uncle John.
And I actually knew that because I've been getting pictures from Aunt Sheila, John's wife.
Yeah.
That they got a mug.
Oh,
I think a t-shirt. Yeah. So thanks, Uncle John.
John, thank you so much for being supportive all the time. It really does mean the world to us. Mm-hmm. And I promise to at least try to stop making fun of Indiana.
And that's a lot coming from Dan.
That is a lot. So you have my word that I will try.
Yes. His last bullet point, and you are definitely my favorite horror podcast.
Oh, so now we can officially say that we didn't just make up that quote. I love that.
He says, of course, yours is the only podcast I listen to. So there's that.
You know what? I'll still take it.
Okay.
We still have validation for the line that we say at the beginning of every episode. So now it's official. I love that.
So he says, hope to hear from you soon. Love, Uncle John.
Oh, thanks again. I love that so much.
That's so great. So actually, Uncle John, you will be hearing from me soon because I am going to Evansville.
No.
Indiana.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Without me?
Yeah.
I hate you.
You should come.
When are you going?
I'm going this weekend.
Well, that's way too short of notice, by the way.
<Yeah, I know.
laughs> Okay. You could have literally given me more notice.
So sorry. I just kind of didn't actually want you to come.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly fair. I feel like the invitation this whole time has kind of just been like a pity invitation, so.
I'm going to go and drink a margarita for you.
Have several.
Margaritas. Yeah. So I am going with my Aunt Christy. Shout out. Hey, Aunt Christy. Ooh. And Uncle Joe. Hey, Uncle Joe.
Yes.
And we're going down to see the solar eclipse.
Oh my God. Is it visible from there?
It's one of the spots where you can see it in totality.
Oh my God. Now I'm even more jealous.
I know.
Oh, that's so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I would say take photos, but don't. Just enjoy it.
Also, I don't even know how I would do that.
Well, also, I don't think they show up well unless you have like a really nice camera.
Yeah, and I definitely don't.
Just enjoy it. This is so cool.
I'm
so,
so
jealous.
I have
major FOMO right now.
I know. I'm so sorry. I'll tell you all about it. And we'll go again. Well, not to see the solar eclipse, but...
Please. Oh my God, that's so cool.
So cool.
Have so much fun.
I will. But for today's episode,
yes,
I thought we could talk about superstitions around the solar eclipse.
Yes, absolutely.
Fun stuff. So for those of you who don't know, there is going to be a solar eclipse in North America on April 6th, 2024, which is when I'm going to be in Evansville, Indiana.
Yes.
Dan, can you explain what a solar eclipse is?
I certainly can. So the thing about a solar eclipse is it still does involve the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So basically a solar eclipse is when the moon passes between the earth and the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically it is blocking our view of the sun because the moon is between our field of vision and the sun.
Yeah.
And a total eclipse happens at certain longitudes where that moon passing over the sun creates like a perfect ring.
Mm-hmm. And it blocks that entire ray.
Correct.
During whatever those few seconds and minutes of time. So basically like day is night.
Yeah.
For a brief amount of time.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I've always wanted to see one.
Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna have so much fun.
Thanks. I know. I'm excited. So I don't know. Maybe you want to rally because this will be the last time that the line of totality will be in the U.S. until August 2045.
Oh my God.
But we'll still be alive.
Yeah, but that's so far away.
I know.
Shit. Maybe I should
go. We'll be like 54.
Damn it. All right. Well, now I'm thinking I might go, but I'll figure it out.
Man, I would freaking love it. If I can convince you by the end of this episode, amazing.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think that there are omens attached. Some are good and some are bad.
I can imagine, because think about it. Eclipses have been happening for the whole history of the Earth.
Exactly.
So before humans had all the science that we have now, I'm sure that ancient civilizations were like, what the hell is going on?
Exactly. Yes.
Are we dying? Mm-hmm. What's going on? So I'm sure a ton of superstitions have arose. Also, from what I've heard, a lot of people claim that they experience weird things during the eclipse, and animals start acting weird too. So,
oh, I didn't read any of that.
That's just what I've heard anecdotally. So, again, I've never experienced.
I am going to tell you about a few of them. They come mostly from ancient civilizations.
Okay.
So, my main source is the 2024 Farmer's Almanac.
Ah, amazing resource.
We love it. The article is titled "What Legends and Lore Surrounds the Solar Eclipse."
Amazing.
And this is by Catherine Bookman. They used to think that the sun disappearing in the middle of the day meant death and evil were not far behind. So that's one of the omens, right? Perhaps the sun god was unhappy.
Okay.
So in one story, for example, this is from India, one of the Hindu spirits named Rahu steals the nectar of immortality and he drinks it.
Oh.
Yes. As he's about to finish it, he's beheaded as punishment.
Well, then the nectar didn't work.
It didn't. There was like a little bit left and he just wasn't able to finish it.
Oh, no.
It's kind of like that scene in Hercules.
I was just going to say that. That's my favorite Disney movie.
I know it is. So after he was beheaded, the head shot up into space.
And blocked the sun.
And close. So for revenge, he swallowed the sun and the moon, depending on if it's solar or lunar.
Oh.
Yeah. And since he has no body, it just pops right out the throat.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. So it only happens for a little bit.
Yeah, that because so as soon sense. As it goes right through his head, the solar eclipse is over.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And then so is his head just floating around circling Earth at all times?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
I love that.
So there's similar stories in Mongolia, Siberia, and China.
Ah.
In which a beheaded being swallows the sun or moon. It might not be Rahu, the Hindu spirit, but it is something similar.
That is so fascinating to me how a lot of very similar stories arise in different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Another one, for example, some ancient rulers actually used the story as a way to show power or even gain further power.
Ooh.
So as we said, similar to Rahu, some believe that a dragon lived amongst the stars and would eat the sun and have to be challenged to bring it back.
Oh. Yeah.
So in ancient Chinese culture, some could actually predict when the eclipse would happen.
Okay.
So the emperor, who was filled in by these people who knew how to predict when a solar eclipse would happen,
yes,
would show his power by fighting the celestial dragon and bringing back the sun.
Ooh, that sounds like an epic battle.
You know, and there was a drum song for the event as well.
Oh my God, can you play for us?
I cannot.
You're not going to go get your drum set?
I cannot. I don't know it. Oh, well, I'm so sorry.
What a disappointment for your show.
I know. And so that's how emperors and rulers would gain trust and show their power.
That's so cool.
And also sinister.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of like lying.
Absolutely. You are lying.
Yeah. And other events, for example, Alexander the Great of Macedonia, he had some people who could also predict that.
Ooh.
Yeah. So Alexander the Great's team could predict when the lunar eclipse was.
Okay.
And so he used that knowledge to very publicly make sacrifices to the gods while telling his fleet of warriors that they will win the battle against Darius III of Persia.
Oh. So how was he going to back this up if it didn't work out?
I mean, fortunately it did.
Okay, good.
And that's how he and his men won the Battle of Gaugamela.
He took a big gamble there, girl.
Well, I mean, it was Alexander the Great. I think he had a pretty good idea at that point.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
It worked out.
Mm-hmm.
For him.
Yeah. Not so much for Darius the Third.
No.
So guess who also causes the eclipse?
Who? I don't know. Who?
Loki.
Oh, of course.
Loki of Norse mythology.
Yes.
He's the mischievous one.
Yes.
So him being mischievous, there was once a time they decided to chain him up.
Okay.
But since, you know, he's got his superpowers, he makes these giant wolves while he's chained up because he's so angry.
Yeah, of course.
And one of them swallows the sun.
Oh, that must have been a big wolf.
Yeah, giant wolf.
I mean, the sun is very large.
God, yeah, could you imagine the size of that? You can't. The wolf would have to be like the size of a galaxy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess there's no facts to back
also,
me up on that.
Also, it'd be very hot to swallow. It'd be like when you burn your mouth on hot tea or food.
Oh, man.
And then everything tastes weird for like a week. That would happen to this wolf.
Oh, that poor wolf.
No. Don't feel bad for the wolf.
Oh, okay.
He swallowed our sun.
How are we going to live?
Whose team are you on here, Madeline?
I'm on team animals all the time.
I mean, that's fair, but you might also kill all the other animals. I know, I don't want that. The sun is gone.
Well, there's another one of them that chases the moon, so I guess Peru's screwed without tides.
Yeah, I mean, well. Oops.
So let's move a little bit into the Western Hemisphere.
Please.
Because the solar eclipse will be seen in the Western Hemisphere this year. Dan, I've shared with you a story.
Okay.
That's based on Navajo belief.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah. Amazing.
So we're moving west to the areas of Arizona and New Mexico. And I'm adding Arizona and New Mexico area in because I'm going to be watching the solar eclipse with my uncle who lives in Arizona. Hi, Uncle Terry.
Okay. So this, as Madeline said, is a Navajo legend. And it's from the Exploratorium website in their info page. And it's titled Eclipse Stories from Around the World. Mm-hmm. From the Navajo perspective, eclipses are a time of renewal and a manifestation of the cyclical relationship between the sun, the moon, and the earth. The old traditional knowledge of the Navajo people recognizes that it is dangerous to look directly at the sun, and thankfully, most people still know that that's true today. Not everybody. If you know, you know. Navajo elders strongly instruct their community to go inside the hogan, their traditional dwelling, during an eclipse to ensure people do not look up at the sun. Traditional Navajo people sit quietly and in reverence, a practice that is grounded on their deeply held respect for the cosmic order. Some people will choose to look at the eclipse using protective eclipse glasses, which I did do last time I saw one. It wasn't a total eclipse, but partial. And we got special glasses to look at
same,
it.
Same.
But that decision is up to each family or individual. Oh my God, that's so cool. I love how they have such respect for nature and the cosmos and honestly for themselves and their tribe.
Yes, there's so much harmony.
I love that.
Yes, yeah. So not all of the omens were bad.
No. I mean, I wouldn't expect them all to be bad either because humans are naturally inquisitive, curious beings.
Yes.
And so to see something so out of this world and more profound than our day-to-day lives, of course people are going to be mystified by it and think that there's some good things around it too.
That's very true.
That's so cool.
Dan, do you want to choose another one?
Oh, there's more legends?
Oh, there's a ton. I just picked a few.
Okay.
I thought you could read another one from like the US area.
Oh, there's a lot of them, Madeline.
I know.
And this is all on almanac.com from an article entitled Solar Eclipse Folklore, Myths, and Superstitions. Oh, this one sounds very interesting, Madeline.
Tell me all about it.
Okay. So it is entitled Solar Eclipse and Pregnancy Superstitions.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, yes. Are you ready for this?
No.
Many ancient people worried that an eclipse caused pregnancy issues such as blindness, cleft lips, and birthmarks. Even today, there are some beliefs in superstitions. Pregnant women are sometimes warned to stay inside, not eat, not carry sharp objects, and not eat cooked food from prior to the eclipse? What?
Wait, from prior to the eclipse?
Yeah, like don't eat the food that was made before the eclipse?
Wait, how does that?
I'm very confused.
Well, you would think that that food is safe because it hasn't been exposed to the eclipse if there was anything.
I don't know the logic behind any of this, but...
Fair. I'm not asking the right questions, am I?
Modern baby blogs ask if pregnant women should wear some sort of metal, such as a safety pin, to protect the baby. These superstitions are wild to me. There's plenty of science that says this is not the case.
Dan, I am actually impressed that you chose this one because it segues perfectly into what I want to talk about next.
Amazing.
If you want to jump into all seriousness around these superstitions.
Yes.
In response, NASA actually published an article debunking these myths.
Yeah, I figured. I mean, there's a lot of science.
Yeah.
Here. But they're still very intriguing, and it's interesting that people still believe in them today. I love that.
Yeah, so some people think that any dew or moisture condensed during an eclipse is toxic and can make you sick. Some Native Alaskan cultures used to turn their dishware upside down to keep poison from lining the meals.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, no protectant. So can I tell you some of the myths that NASA debunked?
Yeah.
Okay, myth number one.
Yes.
Total solar eclipses produce harmful rays that can cause blindness.
And that's been debunked? Because I know it can be harmful for your eyes.
If you watch it.
If
you watch it before totality.
Yeah,
sure.
They're just saying like it just is emitting it and it'll cause blindness.
Yeah, you're not going to get radiation rays from the sun that way.
Yeah.
Myth. If you are pregnant, you should not watch an eclipse because it can harm your baby.
Well, we just read that one. That is so fascinating.
Myth number three.
Yeah.
Eclipses will poison any food that is prepared during the event.
Okay. Again, there's plenty of science that says that's not the case. It is the same rays coming from the sun at all times. The rays that are being emitted aren't any different than the sun on a normal day. It's just the fact that the moon is passing in front of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one. Myth. Eclipses are harbingers of something very bad about to happen.
All right, that one is a little bit more understandable. I mean,
it is
a weird phenomenon and people get uncomfortable in different situations.
It's true. So like the first sentence says, a classic case of what psychologists call confirmation bias is that we tend to remember all occasions when two things happen together.
Gotcha.
So eclipse, big news, bad thing happens.
Yep.
Happened because of the eclipse.
Yep.
Okay. Myth. There are no total solar eclipses at Earth's north or south poles.
They can happen at the north and south pole?
Mm-hmm.
How?
Yeah. In fact, there is nothing especially unique about these locations from an astronomical standpoint.
Interesting, because I thought maybe they would be because the way that the moon orbits and the fact that Earth is rotating on a slight tilt. So I thought maybe the angle wouldn't be right, but interesting.
Well, no, because it is on a slight tilt. That makes sense, because then the pole is actually exposed.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Myth. The moon turns completely black during a total solar eclipse.
The moon itself turning black? Yeah, no.
Okay, myth. The corona of the sun has always been observed during a total solar eclipse.
Oh, interesting.
And another myth, and the final one that I'm going to read today. Solar eclipses foretell major life changes and events about to happen.
Okay, again, I can kind of see how people would let their superstitions make them believe that.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I like astrology. I'm sure that there's something connected to an eclipse in astrology.
Those are awesome. I love how NASA had to debunk a lot of this. Some of it was understandable, but some of it was very much common sense. But before we go, Madeline, can I read one more from the Almanac website?
I would love that. Yes, please.
I thought we would end on a positive note.
I would love it.
Okay, so this one's entitled Eclipse as a Good Luck Charm.
Yes.
Yeah, especially since a few weeks ago we celebrated St. Patty's Day.
Woo!
So the luck of the Irish, keeping it going, right?
Keeping it going.
I don't think this one's related to the Irish people, though. But it says, eclipses did not incite fear in at least one group, Bohemia's miners. They believed that the event portended good luck in finding gold.
Ooh!
Some North American Indian tribes believed that an eclipse was simply nature's way of checking in with the sky, perhaps a sort of cleaning house. The sun and the moon temporarily leave their places in the sky to see if things are going all right on our planet Earth.
That's really nice.
Isn't that sweet?
They're just looking out for us.
Yeah.
Dan, thank you so much for finding that to close out the show.
Absolutely. If anybody goes and watches the eclipse this weekend, please, please write into us because I'm already really upset that I'm not going and that Madeline sprung this on me.
Yeah.
So please tell me your stories. I want to live vicariously through all of you. So please write us in. You can do so on social media at The Grim Cities on X, Instagram, and Facebook. Or you could email us at thegrimcitiespodcast@gmail.com.
Be like Uncle John.
Always be like Uncle John. He's the best.
He's the best.
And until then, enjoy the eclipse and live your best afterlife.
Woo!
Bye.
Surrounds the this fucker.
What did you just call me?
Fucker.
You bitch.